I do want to thank our brother and sister very much for those beautiful pieces. Thank you so much for ministering. And we trust indeed that the Lord will continue to speak on to all of our hearts what we've heard tonight. We've been blessed already, haven't we? And can I say that it is a privilege and it is a blessing to be here and to tell you about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, what he means to me. And there's no greater privilege, no greater honour. And really, when we think of a testimony, testimony is the account of God's dealings. It's a story of God's grace. It's a message of what the Lord has done. And I trust that that will be the case this evening, that we'll hear much about Christ and that we'll be challenged, each one of us, in our own soul. I just want you to turn, please, in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and the chapter 8. Just want to base what I have to say this evening on a couple of verses here, John chapter 8. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read two verses. Verse 32 and the verse 36. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. Let's just bow very briefly in prayer, please. Our gracious God, we want to thank thee this evening for thy precious word. And we rejoice afresh in what our ears have heard as we've just read these verses. We thank thee for the singing, the congregational singing of thy people. There's no song like the Lord's song. There's no joy like the Lord's salvation. I want to thank thee for our brother and sister and the pieces that they've brought this evening. And what a blessing they've been to us. We've been reminded about the precious blood of Christ. We've been reminded that we've been bought and we've been redeemed with that precious blood. And it's through that blood that we have forgiveness and cleansing. And Lord, that we're made right with God. Lord, speak on through thy word and all that's said and done. Make much of Christ, we pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. I brought along some copies of my testimony book this evening. By the way, they are completely free of charge. But on the back, you'll notice this has been a reprint and decided to put some pictures of myself when I was in my unconverted days. There's just a few pictures in the back. And oftentimes, looking back, to me it's like looking and thinking about a different person because it was a different me then. I must say, I'm absolutely marvel at the grace of God. Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. I especially think of those people who made a difference in my life. And can I say that oftentimes when I'm dealing with individuals, and I'm dealing with addicts, normally, now not always, but normally it is the mother. Of course, it's going to be some family member, but normally it's the mother. My mother had much to endure when I grew up. Sadly, I broke her heart. And yet despite all that I put her through, she still loved me, cared for me, and prayed for me. And can I say that as a parent, the greatest thing that you will ever give your children, mother, the greatest thing you will ever give your child is your prayers. Your prayers. My mother was like most mothers, she had a built-in lie detector. She knew whenever I was not telling the truth. She was well switched on to me. But right from a young age, sadly, I began to break her heart. Now, here's the wonderful thing. Despite my wandering, going astray, my mother prayed for me. You see, at a very young age, I was just around about the age of 8, my mother could see it. Now, here's the... I say it's amazing because it really is. My mum, she didn't smoke, drink, swear. She didn't live an outward immoral life. In fact, most people would have said she was a Christian. After all, she went to church, she read a Bible, she said her prayers. She was the role model neighbour. However, at a meeting, a gospel mission in Lisburn, she heard the gospel preached. She went night after night, and one night she returned and she told my dad and myself. And as I said, I was just about the age of 8 at that time. I've got saved, I'm born again. Now, I didn't really understand what that change meant because I thought my mum was a Christian. But I knew by her complexion, by her very look, that she had a joy unspeakable and full of glory, that she was different. My mother was certainly a great influence in my life. and I thank the Lord for. A dear lady that I don't even remember was also a great influence, because when I was just a little boy, just around about the age of 3 and 4, I was told of how she used to take me to a Baptist Sunday school in Belfast every week, and she took me by the hand and she led me off down to the car and took me down, and there she loved me and she cared for me. Now here's the thing, I don't even remember her. But tonight I thank God for her. I thank the Lord that she loved a little child, a little boy. Now I can remember being in the meetings. I remember hearing the great texts of Scripture. And isn't it strange that whenever you're a child, the things that you remember, when it comes to boys and girls and the children's meetings, what I remembered about the children's meetings in the Sunday school was the prizes. Remember the prize givings. But I also remember hearing the great gospel texts. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as a young boy growing up, I was very blessed. Sadly, I broke my parents' hearts. Can I say to those in our meeting tonight who are in their youth, don't break your mom's heart. Of late I've been trying to help some families and parents in particular, heartbroken. I mean devastated. And oftentimes it would have been said to me, don't you care about your mom? Don't you love your dad? Can't you stop what you're doing? When will you come to your senses? You see, I started off with one thing and it went to another. Started the smoking and the drinking, and the solvents and the cannabis, and just going from one drug to another. Always looking for life, but looking in the wrong place. Now, my mum's nature and her disposition was such that she was very warm and very forgiving. My father was really what you would describe as being old school, a very hard-working, decent man. But what I will say is that in my teenage years, I remember the things that my dad said to me. Now, I know that my father said a lot of things. But what stands out are the words that hurt me. Now, to some degree, I can understand why he said those things. He was frustrated. He was hurt. I was hurting my mom. I was bringing shame to our home. But you know, he used to say things like, you're a mistake. You're not meant to be here. I wish you were never born. The common one was, I wish I drowned you at birth. Now I can tell you, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say is very, very important. And can I say to parents in our meeting tonight, you know, all of us, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what trouble or trials will come to our home. And I sat with my family lately and I said to them, you know, oftentimes we look and we say, we want the Lord to change our children. We want the Lord to intervene. And of course we do. But sometimes it's a matter of really coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, what are you teaching me? What lessons are you dealing with in my heart? And oftentimes it's a matter of the Lord giving us and dealing with us in relation to patience and trust and faith. And I was hurt, but of course I was hurting. I left home at a very young age. I left home when I was 15. Now I have a young lad, Josiah is coming 12, and he does not like school. He's a chip off the old block. I did not like school at all. Now, he's very much different to me, because whilst he doesn't like school, he'll do his homework and he'll do his studies, and he wouldn't dream of not having coursework put in, etc. I was the opposite. I didn't want to work, didn't want to study, didn't want to do any of those things. My whole outlook in life was, life's what you make it, eat, drink and be merry. Life's all about what you can get. And so many people live their lives like that. And as a young man, I headed off thinking, man, I'm going to enjoy life to the full. Now, here's the way I looked at life. Life for me was about the buzz. It was about the thrill. It was about what you could get. And I was deceived. The devil is a liar. Life is not out there in the world. It's not in a fix. It's not in a high. It's not in some sort of experience. Life is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. When I left home at 15, it wasn't, should I say, voluntarily I left home. It wasn't voluntary. My dad threw me out. He said, "You're breaking your mum's heart, and I'm not going to have it no more." The same day I also left school, and I thought, man, this is it. Out of school, out of the home. I live my life now. I can be free. I can do what I please. Not realizing all the while I was a slave. I was just like a puppet on the strings. And it's as if the devil was just pulling my strings and pulling my cords. And I was going the way that he wanted me to go. Just like the prodigal son leaving home, thinking, life's out there in the world. Not realizing that I was in bondage and in slavery to my sin. There were times whenever my mum wanted me to come back home, but it was difficult. I had a selfish desire just to live my life my own way and do my own thing. When you're in your teens, I know that I felt at that time that I was literally bulletproof, that I had my whole life in front of me. Didn't matter what I took or what I did, that I was still going to be around. Remember one night in particular in Belfast, and I got into some trouble. At that stage I was living with five of us in a flat, and it was not good company and it was not a good environment. It was just a drinking den and all that went on with it. And one night in particular, we were up to no good, and we ended up getting chased by the police. And it was now the early morning, and we were making our way back home, and the police Land Rovers pulled up and they jumped out, and they arrested my friends. Now, I was a lot thinner and a lot faster. I keep telling my wife, I'm twice the man that you met. I'm certainly twice the weight. I was very thin at that time, and I could run. I took my beaters off down the road right beside Crusaders football ground. There's a big wall at the side, and there's a couple of footholds, and you know where those footholds are. You could have got over the wall and nobody else could get over the wall and catch you. So I was away, up the house, up the flat I was staying in, and made it look as if I'd been in bed. That knock came to the door, and of course I thought, who's touted them? I'm going to kill them. Which of my friends has given me up? And the policeman looked at me, and I said, yes, can I help you, as if I was sleeping? And he said, son, don't even go there. You're the only person in this country with an orange Mohican. Don't even go there. Now, here's the thing. Honestly, I thought I got away with it. I thought I was free. Brought me home. My mum brought me home at least for a time, but there are parts, in fact, there's a lot in my past that I don't like to talk about because I'm ashamed of it. And I mean ashamed. What I put my mum through. I said to a young man just recently, his mum was sitting beside him, and she says, you know, I haven't slept in weeks. I can't sleep. I worry about him every minute of the day. And I said, son, I want to tell you something. Thank the Lord for the mother you have, because she really cares for you. She really cares. Because of my lifestyle, my mum had a full breakdown. No wonder. The Word of God says to honor thy father and thy mother. I do rejoice that even throughout those very, very tough days, that my mum still prayed for me. When I went to Belfast, I went over to London to live, ended up coming home, meeting a young lady. We ended up getting married. The year after we were married, we had a little girl who, when she was born, Samantha was 7 weeks premature. She was very ill. We'd been down visiting her in hospital. At this stage, I'm 19 years of age. Linda's even younger, you know, and believe it or not, we're both got the skinhead haircut, shaved hair with the lines in the head that identified your religion, the boots with the laces, the colours, etc. All the hatred, the slogans, the t-shirts and all that there sort of thing. and to think that we would have a little child. But when Samantha was in hospital, I started to think about life one night. I came back. She was not even 2 weeks of age at that time. She was still in the maternity unit, in the incubator. And we come home, and I started to think about life. Life for me was just empty. It was a void. It was so much pain. I started to think, well, my life is an absolute disaster. I mean, look at my little child. She'll probably die. Everything I put my hand to just turns to ruin. I'm the cause of everybody's unhappiness. And the thoughts started to go around my mind. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. Why don't you just, step out of this life and give everybody a break? You're the reason for all their pain and hurt. I don't know if you've ever been to that place, but it's a very, very dark place. That night I determined to end my life. And I mean determined. Somebody said, oh, well, it's maybe just a cry for help that, people are talking about ending their life. Maybe it's just a cry for help. But you know what? If it's a cry for help, maybe we need to listen. I ended up taking a massive drugs overdose with alcohol. Now, here's the thing. Nobody knew. But God knew. I determined I'm going to die. I'm so humbled to think that God determined, no, you're going to live. I ended up in the cardiac unit in Lagan Valley for about 4 or 5 days. Life support, all that goes with it. Great need. God answers prayer. The Lord put into our pathway various people. One of them, my wife's great aunt, Violet. The most godly person I have ever known. I mean, I was an unsaved and I was a wretch. I really was. She never once spoke a harsh word to me, looked down her nose at me. She loved me. She prayed for me. And what an influence for good and for God. I took sick some 3 months after getting out of hospital. And by the way, Samantha, she came through the surgery. She's now 32 years of age with a couple of grandchildren. But I became very sick. Life can change in a moment. Friends, you can be in the meeting tonight with the best of health, never a day's ill health, and it can just change in a moment of time. It can all change. I went into hospital, had 1, 2, 3 operations. I ended up having lots. Stop counting. I think it was number 28. Last week when I was in hospital, I was talking to one of the doctors and he said, you have a medical history like an encyclopedia. The Lord uses circumstances, doesn't he? You think of how Manasseh in the Bible, God was speaking to him, but he wouldn't listen. And God was speaking to Manasseh, but he wouldn't respond. And so the Lord did something to get his attention. What did he do? He brought him down, he humbled him. Someone said to me when I was just saved, you only became a Christian because you were in need and because you needed God. And I had to say, thank the Lord I did. I'm so thankful. I thank the Lord he brought me to that point. It was in hospital that my life changed, and praise God, changed forever. 26th of August, 1989. It was a Saturday morning. I was facing major surgery, emergency surgery, an operation that was really a life or death operation. And as I was being prepared for that surgery, the consultant, the man who had performed many of my operations, shared the gospel with me. He told me how I could be saved and know the Lord. And, I could understand how God would be angry with me. I can understand how God could, deal with me in wrath. But I couldn't fathom how he could love me. He said to me, God doesn't just love you. He has demonstrated, he has shown that love because he sent his son to die on the cross. The Lord Jesus who shed his precious blood, who died. And he said, the Lord is able to forgive you. I hadn't the strength to get out of bed. I couldn't get on my knees. I was literally in so much pain, but I remember just crying out in the darkness, and it was just like I was surrounded and encompassed in darkness, and I just cried out, Lord, please save me, please change my life. I genuinely 100% believed I had only moments left to live. I remember saying, I'm so sorry for wasting my whole life. But even these last moments, Lord, God, I'm just giving them to you. My wife got the call to come to the hospital. I was critically ill. It's very different from nowadays. You go into the intensive care and you can go right up to the bed. In those days, you weren't allowed into the recovery ward. Only under very special circumstances. And she was allowed in, which was unusual. She came over to the bed, and I remember saying to her, as I was wired up with all the different things, and she came up and she was just so brokenhearted because I'd been through more major surgery and life had just turned upside down. Samantha was, 3 years at that stage, 3 years of age. And she came over to the bed, and I just said, I'm a Christian. And I'm sure she must have thought, he's off his head. He doesn't know what he's saying. They're giving him drugs. The man's hallucinating. But then she began to see the change. Let me say the change is real. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. I haven't the ability to change my heart. I needed a new heart. I needed new desires. But I couldn't do that. But the Lord was able to do it. I couldn't change my ways. But the Lord was able to change my fate. And the pathway that I was taking. 3 months later, after I came out of hospital, the Lord saved my wife, mother-in-law, father-in-law. And he has blessed us above all measure. What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to me? What has he done for me? Everything. He is everything. He has done everything. All that I am is a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm just a recipient. He is everything. It was very early on in my Christian life that the Lord really burdened me to reach out for others caught up in addiction. I know what it's like to be there. I know that it's what it's like to be at the point where your life is so painful. Just don't want to live. I know what it's like to hurt everybody around you, even though you love them. But you can't change that. You haven't got the ability or the strength to do that. I wouldn't change the life that I have now in Christ for anything or for everything in this world. Tell me, do you know the Lord? Are you trusting him? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Christ alone can free you. We all have an addiction. You might say, well, that's the tea or the coffee or the tea. No, an addiction to sin. We all have that addiction. And we can't stop that addiction. We can't break the chains of that addiction. But Christ is able to do it. He's able to make you free. I count it a great privilege and a joy to tell you tonight about the one who met me, who saved me, who transformed me. And I want to tell you, I love him with all of my heart. He's everything to me. What about you? Come to Christ. Trust Christ. Young person, if you look for life in the world, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Life is in Jesus Christ. May God bless this testimony and what has been said to our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. Let's just bow together in prayer. And ask that the Lord will separate us in his fear and with his favor. Heavenly Father, Lord, there is so much more that we could talk about and say about thy marvelous grace and Lord, in reality, I could be here all evening. But Lord, just in the moments that have passed, I just want to thank thee afresh for all that you've done. Not only for me, but for each and every brother and sister in Christ here. Lord, we love thee this evening. And yet we're humbled to think that we love God because he first loved us. To think that we were at war against God, we're fighting against thee. Yet he loved us. Sent your son to die for us. We pray for any gathered tonight who are not saved, not converted. May this be the night where they will make that decision and start for heaven and for home. We pray that you'll work in hearts and lives. Bless our young people. We thank thee for them. Keep them safe. Keep them sheltered from the things of the world. Watch over them when they're going out and coming in. And Father, we pray that early in life they'll come to know our Lord Jesus as Savior. And they'll fully submit and follow thee. And walk in the paths of righteousness. Hear and answer prayer. Take us all to our homes in safety. We return thanks in the name of thy Son and for his glory. Amen. Amen.